This fire engineering podcast is made possible by Tenkata Protective Fabrics. The global leader in flame-resistant fabrics, Tenkata Protective Fabrics enables millions of people worldwide to be great at what they do. Generations of industry professionals serving in the fire service, industrial, and military industries rely on Tenkata Fabrics for safety, comfort, and confidence. From the harshest working conditions to the welcoming site of home, Tenkata recognizes the people they're protecting are unique individuals whose lives extend beyond work. Supporting a world of evolving needs, Tenkata's innovations lead the way in user-centric design, technology, and sustainability around the globe. To learn more, please visit TenkataFabrics.com.
Welcome to Fire Engineering's Hump Day. Hang on to our show, Issues and Challenges in Today's Fire Service. I'm Rick Lasky, along with the rest of our team, our third Wednesday of the month. We've got that show. Terry McGrath, our good friend, our co-host, Terry, they're building all kinds of stuff, Scott, right? New giant public safety buildings in Louisville and training center. So he might be joining us late. If we miss Terry, we'll get him next show. And we've got Chief John Salka, Chief Scott Thompson, and the boss, Chief Bobby Halton. We've got another great show, another great topic lined up for you. And as for our regular reminder, if you have any questions or comments, please shoot over to Twitter and send them our way. Just make sure to add hashtag FE Talk so our producer Pete can grab them and send them out to us. And today our topic is calling the Mayday. Welcome back, guys. It's great. Bobby, you were just saying before we were kind of live, that it's going to be great to see everybody. We were joking. Like, I know this is like the slowest time of the year for you. You just sit around your chair in your office and spin around, watch the fan blades go around, right?
Because I got nothing going on. So I'm glad you guys asked me to do this because I was getting kind of bored here watching the paint dry. It's really exciting. And thank you. Just to take a minute to talk about the show. Things are coming together spectacularly. Big announcement. If you are listening and you couldn't get into Making the Grab, Grant Schwabe's class, we just added 4 slots to each session. So that means that 12 more people can get into that class if you do it today, because the class has been sold out for weeks. So Grant was able to accommodate 4 more people. So if you want to take that class, jump on it now, because it's been sold out for weeks.
What are we up to, Bobby, for hot classes? Not workshops yet, but the actual hands-on out, you know, training. How many classes are we up to?
27.
Okay. So the logistics is amazing. Thank God David Rhodes takes care of things still. I mean, that you got great people doing logistics.
In excess of $120 million worth of equipment.
Wow.
That's just equipment. That's not fire apparatus. That's not, you know, that's equipment.
That's for the hands-on training. We've got all the workshops inside. And then for our viewers, this is going to be an incredible year. There's Terry.
Hey.
He'll be back.
You scared him.
This is going to be an incredible year with bringing GEMS. I mean, GEMS is a Clarion product. We've known that for years, all the different.
Right. So GEMS started out. So we're actually bringing GEMS and Fire Rescue Magazine inside of FDIC now. So basically what GEMS Page's vision was is we needed a medical journal for street medics, firefighters that do EMS. Whether you're just an EMT, first responder, you know, you go to a job and somebody's down, you got to know what to do, right? So we brought that all inside with 40 CAPC accredited courses. We're going to have a medical directors forum, a little panel with our new medical director, Ed Dickinson, who you're going to absolutely love. The guy is a firefighter, paramedic, EMT, still is today. And that's how he started his career. So on the job in Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh area, as a street medic, firefighter, then went to medical school, stayed on as a volunteer, still volunteers today, rides the rig, goes out on runs, you know, hey, we need to get the medical director. I'm right here. So he's our guy, which is he's like the rest of us. He's a street urchin. So he speaks our language. He knows our conversation. We got these incredible classes going, really kind of. So it's just bringing it all together. Right. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, just a first responder or an EMT or a paramedic or a nurse practitioner or whatever you're doing. If you're on the street, FDIC is the place for you to get the training you need and it's CAPSI accredited. So you can use it towards your, you know, your recertification stuff for nursing school, EMT school, even the docs are putting together some stuff so that the docs, the emergency docs, will be able to use some of that stuff. So really, really, really cool stuff. We're going to have some really cool opportunities. The fun run is still on. The fun run's being run this year by the Cancer Support Network. We all know somebody. If you're watching this, you know a couple of guys with cancer, because a couple of guys with cancer are actually on this call. So, or the, you know, are recovered from it. So, you know, the Cancer Support Network is doing the fun run on Thursday. The Fool's Bash is still on. That's going to be Billy LeGear and his guys. That's Wednesday night. Stop, Drop, Rock and Roll is on Thursday. They've really re-ramped that thing. They got a great band. The Stair Climb is on for Friday. That's going to be amazing. All of that good stuff is coming. Rick and John will be holding a court at the books and videos, signing all their books. So you want to be there. The Lifetime Achievement Award for John Salka is going to be freaking epic. So you want to be there for that. And John will be around for pictures. All that. Pardon?
15 minutes long.
It's going to be epic. And John will be around for pictures and all that great stuff.
Thank you.
It is going to be amazing. Well, Dan Shaw, Doug Mitchell,
everybody, Bobby,
Dave Page.
Everybody's been talking about how excited they are that it's back in April. Everybody I've been running into when I'm teaching, they're like, God, I can't wait to get back there. You know, unlike some of the corporate people, like sitting in their underwear doing like Zoom talks, firefighters, God, they want to, I've been seeing it. They want to get out there.
We did it last August, man.
I'm checking my calendar. It's April. You said it's in April. I'm checking my calendar again.
But it's just, they're just dying.
And the mask mandate, and talking with my buddies up in D.C., the mask mandate will be off on aeroplanes. So you'll actually be able to smile at one another. You won't look like the servant class on the.
That'll be nice. That'll be
really nice. Yeah. So our overlords, you know, you see the pictures of all the celebrities at their parties talking and all the people waiting at the tables.
Well, I guess my one question though, Bob, before we get going here is, so, you know, Louisville, Terry sends like, they charter a Greyhound bus. They send up, Louisville sends so many guys up there, like dozens. And then, I want to talk about this addiction to FDIC that we all have, because you know what happened last year? We sent Chief Ryan Fetzer and Captain Chris Bashford from Wichita West, my volunteer department. They're hooked. They're going. Jim Spears, our Firefighter of the Year, who's a veterinarian, who's can't wait. He's paying his own way. He did the whole thing. He did from he's there Sunday through. So obviously, like the Cubs used to have some counselors out in the hallways because they lost 108 years in a row to a goat. We need to have some counselors out in the hallway to deal with this whole addiction to FDIC. Because I'm telling you,
I can say this because I love the guy and he's my friend. It's such an addiction that my buddy Pete Matthews promises to be in the front row for you, John, Thursday, by the way. I spoke to Pete yesterday. If you know who Pete is, that's how bad the addiction is. So, and Pete is a dear friend, one of the finest men on the face of the planet. He's the editor-in-chief of Firehouse Magazine, which is one of the finest publications on the planet. If you're not reading both Fire Engineering and Firehouse, you're a moron. So so that's how bad the addiction is. And by the way, I'm addicted to his show too. So it's, you know what it is? It's us, right? It's just us. It's just being able to just talk about firefighting and not have somebody roll their eyes. They're talking about firefighting again. Yeah, that's all we talk about.
That's the people Wednesday night that come for after hours with you and Billy Gustin, John Norman, John Salk, and myself, where we have no script and we just talk whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah, and John's, please, John, don't wear that Hugh Hefner smoking jacket this year. It's kind of off-putting. So just be a little more, dress up a little. Your family's going to be there.
I was going to wear the Lifetime Achievement jacket
That's right, the green jacket. We got the green jacket. What size are you? A medium, small? Is that the...
Excuse me, that's Mr. Gilmore's jacket.
That's Mr. Gilmore's jacket. So we've got all that great stuff. Please register now. Get in there. I mean, it's going insane. I mean, it's just insane. And I'm happy. I'll be in Indy next week for the walkthrough. I was there last week. Just please keep the Rapp family in your thoughts and prayers. We all knew Mark. Mark was a good friend of ours. He was a FDIC HOT instructor from the very beginning. A great guy, died of 9/11 related lung cancer. He fought it ferociously for 10 years. He finally passed away last week. His son, Mark Jr., is on the hot team. He works with us. And so he's still handling, working in the logistics section. And his other boy, Greg, also on IFD, another firefighting family, that he'll be there. His wife, Nancy, has promised to come and stop by. Mark was he's a firefighter's firefighter. Okay. He was just like everybody on this call. He, you know, just lived it, ate it, breathed it, you know, couldn't stop teaching, couldn't stop being happy about it. So think about the cancer fun run. When you think about it, we're going to dedicate it to Mark this year because we just lost Mark. But think about all the men and women that you know that have had cancer. And a lot of it, they just got. Doesn't matter. It's a cause we can all get behind, trying to help people get through it. And that's all the network does. The network isn't about finding the miracle cure. We're not about doing any of that. We're just about helping other firefighters get through it, because getting through it's a pain in the ass. And so, you know, please come. And you don't have to run. You can walk. Please, 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 please. And we got a note as your ombudsman from James Catron. I hope I'm saying that right. Catron. Can't wait to see you all in Indy. James, we can't wait to see you. And for sending that message, Rick Lasky will buy you a cup of coffee and I'll buy you a cup of coffee. You track me down and we'll go grab a cup of coffee. And thank you for that message. We can't wait to see you either. So, you know, one of the things about this conversation we're having today, remember, and this is real, and we want to talk about May Days today. Remember back when we were talking about May Days at FDIC 16, 17, 18 years ago, right? And we worked through all the, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Well, these conversations continue to evolve. So now we're talking about, you know, the rescue surveys out there. We're talking about, you know, catching water, not catching water, all of those things. That's all of that at FDIC is on the table. And there's not a right, you know, one of our dear friends, Tommy Brennan, used to say, there's not a right way or a wrong way to do anything. There's what's right for your job, right? And I've worked on metro departments and I work on a small volunteer department. And we do things a little bit differently because we got different manpower, we got different configurations, and that's okay. It's okay. You know, and so at FDIC, don't hesitate to think that you don't qualify to teach there. The call for presentations is going to be opening up. So if you're thinking about teaching, put it in there. We do everything from basic hose loads, right, to the most sophisticated incident command stuff possible, to technology. Hell, we got doctors who've got degrees and stuff we can't pronounce who are teaching for us because everybody wants to know what's going on. John Bilch from DARPA, a world famous military man and innovator, he's going to be doing his thing on resiliency and neuroscience and all that again. Remember last year when he did that in August, you couldn't get in the room. The door was open so people could hear. So you want to get to that one early. I mean, there's just so much great stuff going on. It's just amazing. And it's just a chance to, you know, it's just a chance to celebrate a lot of great stuff. Joe Netter, great volunteer chief, is going to be getting the instructor of the year. And he's just a great instructor, just a great guy, but he's just a really down to earth, humble local guy. And so super, super, super time, just going to be a blast. Can't wait to see everybody. Thank you in advance to everybody for supporting it. Let's talk about May Days.
And one of the things, I mean, you know, Nevada, you mentioned, you know, every year when John and I think about changing classes, changing topics, I look at the numbers and go, well, we filled the room again. All those years we did 5-alarm leadership for you, I remember Rhodes going, you guys are doing that class again. I'm like, we fill the room every year. Why would we change it? But we do the 3 degrees of May Day. And it's interesting the conversations that come out of that regarding May Day about, you know, the big topic always is, you know, when to call it, when not to call it. We're talking about calling the May Day. And every one of us has been involved in line of duty at the investigations. I'm very much involved in it now. And the sad part is the amount of times when we should have called the May Day and didn't. It's amazing. We're notorious for two things during the May Day. We stop fighting the May Day's call. We stop fighting the fire. We stop searching. We stop venting. The three things we would do for any citizen, they call the May Day. Guys drop the lines. They do this. They stop venting. They stop searching. All the three things that would help a civilian trapped in the building, we're notorious for stopping when we have a May Day and a fire ground. The other thing is this whole when to call it, when not to call it. I know how each and every one of you feel. We all feel the same way. How many times have we seen a line of duty death where people died with working portable radios and never said a word. They never called the Mayday. They never said help. They never said nothing. There was one case, three working radios, and they died of smoke. They didn't burn it. They died of smoke inhalation. Never called for help. So I think a lot of that, and I'll throw this out to you guys a lot to just start, kick things off. You know, unfortunately, in the fire service, if you're wearing your heart on your shirt sleeve, you're going to be in for a big surprise. You know, we tend to tease each other, but I've had, and I know you guys, you're my very good friends. I have zero patience, zero tolerance for someone that harasses, teases, gives, you know, if you call a Mayday, that's like you call the second alarm, and you know, whether you need, if you think you need to call the Mayday, you call it. And I think some guys are so afraid, you know, they're afraid to get beat up later. They're afraid, well, did I, should I? I think they sometimes spend too much time even thinking about it. Let's train to it. Let's train on, you know, all the different things that go on during the Mayday, like we talk about when we do at FDIC and other places. But the hesitancy sometimes, I'll throw this out there to you guys, I think it happens too often. I think part of that is guys are worried about what some of our so-called fellow firefighters and brothers and sisters out there are going to say if somebody deems that it wasn't a Mayday. So there's so many times we should have called it and we didn't. So I'll throw that out there first. Sometimes the hesitancy you guys have calling the Mayday. John?
You only picked on me because we talked about this earlier today. You know, sometimes Maydays are close to you. Sometimes they're far. Sometimes you see them on Facebook. Sometimes you see them, you know, on the news or whatever it may be. But the bottom line is, you know, given a Mayday and then the accompanying RIT operations, those are the least performed, the least experienced tactics in the whole country. Nobody, and I mean nobody, unless there's somebody really special out there that happens to be very either lucky or unlucky, nobody's got tremendous experience. Nobody even has decent experience in given Maydays. It's just something that doesn't happen a lot. Probably tens of thousands of fire departments out there, and every member in them has never really experienced one, never even heard one on the radio that they had nothing to do with, never mind, you know, been actually involved in one. So having said that, we have this dramatically important life-threatening situation that we have, all of us, chiefs, company officers, firefighters, we have the absolutely least experience in. So there's number one. And that alone tells you how important Mayday and RIT training is, because it's really the only input we have. You can't expect to get good at Mayday and RIT by doing it, like some guys do in some fire departments. They do forced blunt tree a lot. They cut the roof a lot. They stretch hose lines a lot. They could do it in their sleep, frankly. But nobody's got experience in giving a Mayday, knowing when to give a Mayday, responding to a Mayday, commanding a Mayday, or actually being on a RIT team to solve a Mayday. So I think that's a really important point that all of us have to make, both to our students in classes and to our firefighters and our respective fire departments, whether they're career departments or like Louisville, or whether it's a volunteer fire department like South Blooming Grove. It's something that you really got to establish good standards. And I don't mean low standards. I mean simple standards. This is not master's degree stuff, given a Mayday or responding to a Mayday. And the simple point I want to make after that little lead-in is there's no such thing, and you know I say this every class we give, Rick, any class that has anything to do with Mayday, there's no such thing as an unnecessary Mayday. There's no such thing as a Mayday that was given that we later determined, yeah, it really shouldn't have been given. That if we can just get over that hump, we can put that little discussion to sleep and concentrate more on getting good at it. No matter who gives a Mayday, whether they got 20 years or 20 minutes on a fire department, if they at that moment thought a Mayday was warranted and they give it, then everybody is obligated to respond and kick in and go into Mayday operations. And if it ends 3 minutes later because the guy was a little uninformed about where the guy was that he ended up reported missing, then we just have a quickly solved Mayday and we move right on and we check that off as a success. There's no such thing as an unnecessary Mayday, and everybody should pronounce that and say that and write it, and it should be the first paragraph of every Mayday class.
Well, and John, one of the things I always point to you in classes, you worked in some of the busiest companies in New York City. When you're on 48 engine as the captain all those years, you know, never, ever, ever under 6,000 runs, your fires all day long, Rescue 3, the 18th Battalion, Squad 1, all that. How many Maydays? And again, this is just, you know, you would think the more fires,
three Maydays, three of them, two of them as a chief officer, and I was just an extra chief at the box. And all three of them, I must tell you, was for missing members. somebody that bumbled away from their office. It was nobody that fell through a floor or was unconscious. It was all just missing members that were eventually found. They had moved farther away from their office than they should have. But I only been to three, and I've been to one fire where there was, you know, a guy got killed. But the point is, and that's at a pretty busy fire department and pretty busy units. Doesn't matter that it was me, it was the FDNY. It's just a very rare occasion, and we have to just pay a little bit more attention, which is actually a gift. So now we can pretty much follow our training because there's not any contra indications in actual operations that are going to be contrary to what we're teaching, because it really isn't happening a lot.
And my point was, the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of people that have called Maydays that have a legitimate firefighter down. Maybe they didn't make, I mean, we know that ends in tragedy because we couldn't get whatever, you know. I was just pointing, I'm going, here's a guy that's from a very busy department. Just to echo your point about, it's something that doesn't happen that often. And Bobby, I know how you feel when it comes to the debate. I'm throwing a hand grenade out there right now. I know how you feel, because we talked about it earlier, to the people out there that question someone else giving a Mayday, or look at someone, you know, I'm just blow somebody, you know what I'm saying? I know how you feel about when or when you shouldn't call a Mayday, because we just talked about it. And you actually got pretty vocal about your stance, and I agree with you 100%. Did you mute yourself, Bobby? On your mic, maybe?
This is a trick.
Better?
There you go.
Sorry.
I was messing around. I was teasing Scott. I was trying to put my mic in the picture like Scott's.
You heard that, Terry, huh?
Because I finally got a decent mic like Scott, so I was screwing around, and I turned the darn thing off. I apologize. Well, the reason, Rick, and I want to get Terry and Scotty in here, but I've lived through them, and one of them was with you, and we hesitated a little bit, and we almost lost the guy, and you were with me, because remember that? We kind of knew he was in trouble, and then he was really in trouble.
You were chief
trouble.
Of Cap Hell, the house
and,
fire.
Yeah, and Scott, Scott, you were the deputy. I think you might've been there at that one too, with Shane. And so, yeah, we almost, Terry, you, I think you were on too at that time, Terry. I don't know if you're at that fire, but we almost lost the guy. So yeah, hesitation, don't ever hesitate, because we hesitated there. The firefighter actually hesitated a little bit, and then it got exacerbated. I myself got disoriented in a fire. We didn't call it Mayday back then, but I had a call for it, and I'm glad I did, because you know, and I got disoriented inside a big master bedroom walk-in closet thing. I couldn't find my freaking way out and ran out of air. Luckily, the crew was right there in the bedroom next to it, came in, got my happy ass and got me out, but I was completely disoriented. And then I had a buddy of mine, Todd, go through the roof on a working fire we had through a two-story home all the way into the garage. And what was interesting about that was prior to the whole RIT team idea and all that. So when he fell into the garage, we had to get road resource to cut the garage door to get in, to get him out. And you know, normally you'd think, oh, you just went through the front door, you know, whatever, advance the line. No, it was a kind of a weird home under construction, but the people were living in it. So I had a bunch of just funky stuff. And anyway, seconds count, you know, I mean, if you don't believe me, try holding your breath, you know, during one of my short speeches. Yeah, you'll be dead before I get done with hello. So, but the problem is that seconds count, every second counts. I can't say that enough. And four of us were together at a real Mayday where seconds counted. And luckily, because of great paramedics and tremendous ER staff, the guy made it. And it was damn close. It was really too damn close. And so Maydays come in all kinds of fashions. A Mayday can be a guy or a gal having a heart attack and going down. A Mayday could be a guy or a gal suffering a stroke inside the job. And one of the things I think I want to talk about, not only don't hesitate to call it, but don't hesitate to train on it, like John said, and don't hesitate to demand that the way you set up for it. And I get it. It's going to be the crews closest that get to the person initially. But I was recently doing some training with some friends of ours, and we're doing a class on incident command, and we're doing a whole live simulation thing with that. And when they got to the victim, they basically took the victim to the ladder. It was a mannequin and kind of like, you know, just threw it down the ladder. One or two firefighters. The Seattle folks sent me some photos of a VEIS rescue of a civilian the other day. There's 15, 20 guys on that roof. There's six or eight guys on that ladder. Real people, as all of us here can attest to, and real firefighters are a lot heavier than mannequins. And I don't know how to explain it. If you've never been through it, it's hard to believe, but I think we ought to take those mannequins and Terry, you could probably, you're still doing a lot of training. I think we could tie sandbags to all their limbs and that would be more realistic. You know what I mean? I mean, 50 pounders too, tie real heavy duty sandbags to them because that's the way real people are. It's so train, as John said, train, because he only went to three. You know, I've been to a couple, one was my own and they come on you from out of nowhere and you got to be ready and you got to move fast. And we can't stop talking about it. I think the RIT team ought to be called the Mayday team. That might be a better idea.
Well, exactly. And then Terry, I think you wanted to jump in there. Just, you know, and let me throw this real quick. A friend of all of us, Deputy Chief Jay Jonas. John, I brought this up the other day with you. Jay Jonas was nicknamed Captain Sirius. In an absolutely incredible leader. His guys loyal to him, loved working for him. He trained every day. You know, if you remember the miracle of Stairwell B, the only guys that survived the collapse that you see Jay on TV every year. If you remember Jay's story, they were in there for like almost 5 hours, right, John? And then Jay, when the radios came back on, Jay, Captain Sirius, you know, Mr. S, he follows the rules. In his head, he had an argument whether he should actually call the media or not. He's going, well, you know, I mean, we're trapped. It's like it's like the bathroom door is locked and I can't get out. He goes, we just can't get out. But is it a Mayday or is it a Mayday? And I'm like, here's Jay Jonas having this debate with himself. Runs fires all the freaking time, is trapped in the world. And so for the rest of the world out there, if you think you got this whole, everybody here has been teaching Mayday stuff. Skip and I wrote the first article for Fire Engineering back in the 90s and again in 2000. And we're still learning stuff every day about Maydays. And here Jay Jonas, decorated, respected, good friend and brother, but incredible fire ground officer, is going, is this really or not? You know, that's like that 13-point acronym somebody came up with years ago. You know, here's the 13-point you should consider when calling a Mayday. Really? If you think what you're doing is going to seriously injure you or kill you or another guy, you call the Mayday. We can always fix stuff later. Don't hesitate, you know, and someone, you know, Nick, you know, threw us a comment about, yes, it has to do with, you know, a lot with the intimidation and some of the peer pressure you hear and so on and so forth. Sometimes guys just get hoodooed. Sometimes guys get nervous. They get lost. They're spun around. They're trying to find their way out. And calling the Mayday sometimes is the last thing they're thinking of. So there's another reason why some guys don't call it, aside from the intimidation. But here's a guy, Jay Jonas, that was debating with himself. We love Jay. And he's, oh my God. So if you think you have this all mastered and down, you're out there at hoodoo land somewhere. We've got to train on this. We've got to practice this and do what we got to do. Terry?
And Terry, before you go, the one thing too is if you can't remember the whole lunar thing, just scream help. Seriously, just scream for help.
Well, we were talking the other day and I told Chief, I said, you know, it's funny because everyone on this panel, and I dare to say everyone who's listening to this or will listen to this, has stood in someone's living room somewhere with a patient with chest pain and them telling you, I didn't know whether to call and I thought it was indigestion. I you know, we go through this whole thing and firefighters are the worst, right? So you're going to go home and Google something like where I got chest pain. I'm going to Google that and see what that is. But we shouldn't ever, ever, we always tell people, right? If you think you're having a heart attack, call 911, right? Time matters. It matters in EMS call. It's going to matter in a Mayday. You know, Chief, what do you always say? The fire's not out till we say it's out. There's not a fire till we say there's not a fire. Every time you leave on automatic fire alarm, report a smoke, but you get dressed like you're going to a fire. So you know what? If you think you are in that situation, you think that you are in need of help, then declare it. I mean, that's my stake on it. And I think that guy's comments, Nick's comments are dead on, because we have this aura about like, oh, that's a sign of weakness or a sign of failure. Oh, yeah, B shift called a Mayday yesterday. Hey, man, listen, that's a whole different conversation if that was a mayday and we didn't, or that person didn't declare it, we didn't react right to it.
Exactly. And it's cool. No, I'm going to point to Scott here. Scott, first off, before I ask you this question, we always talk about, you know, all the different departments that all five of us are associated with. We're very proud of our the people we work with, have worked for, work with alongside of us. The Colony, Texas, is on the east side of Louisville, if you will. Absolutely incredible group of firefighters and officers. You know, the 12 years I was in Louisville, we spent a lot of time with them, and that's when they were much smaller. You and your team have built, it's oodles how far you guys have come just in growth with that city, commercial and residential. Great, great fire department. But the other day you guys had a mayday, and I know I left things alone, and I text you, hey, do you have time to talk? Because I'm always curious. And I asked you the question, you know, what did you have in all this? And we slowly grew that conversation into, well, you know, this is what happened. And a couple people outside your department were like, well, is that really a mayday or not? And both you and I were like, and you as chief of department's going, I don't really care. If one of my guys says mayday, we're gonna take care of that firefighter. Like, I don't care, you know, who really are we really? And what I tell you, Scott, I said, I know what I could hear John Salka right now. Let me see if I could do my job. Really? Really? So somebody's actually questioning when you call a mayday? Really? Get the hell out of here. I could just see John saying that because that's what he'd say. So, Scott, kind of, if you don't mind, can you share with us a little bit what happened? And first of all, how's your firefighter doing?
Good. A broken leg in two places. It was a serious break, but he's going to do fine. Our medical control doc showed up. He had a great surgeon. But it's interesting, the conversation we had as late as this morning, and I'd love to hear your, we took another side of it. I'll tell you about the incident, but the talk was, what are the consequences of calling a mayday? And we discovered a few, but this was a situation. We had a mayday in August 2019, which was a very serious one. So we spent a lot of time talking about it.
The guy threw the floor, right?
No, that was one we went to in Frisco. We had the one where our two guys were burned with the two people trapped, that it was at shift change. So we talk about it a lot. So we get a fire Saturday, and it's going. It's one of the few that really got kind of ahead of us. And the crews went in, did a good, you know, shot at getting it from inside. And one of the interior crews noticed that the back of the house was being held up by 4x4s. They were pushed through the sheetrock, so this thing was not stable. So after doing a search, the incident commander said, "Let's pull outside, and we're going to hit this from the outside." So while that's happening, while they're transitioning from the inside to the outside, they report of a collapse in part of the building. I listened to the tapes and it wasn't clear, but we've got, at that time, the mayday was called. And so the situation was, one of the members from the second in engine had started to deploy a 2.5 round back, and was by a window that fire was visibly blowing out of, on air, getting ready to attack from the defensive side, was in the mud. This was a messy deal, and he broke his leg in two places. The people that saw him said he went down, and he said this, he went down like he was shot. They thought, first of all, that he had a heart attack. And for a few seconds, he wasn't responding to him, but it an incredible amount of pain, obviously. So a firefighter who witnessed this got on the radio and called, "Mayday, mayday, mayday." Did listen to it. And that, excuse me, by that time, people were starting to come around the back. So they're kind of like, hey, we got this taken care of. So he was right next to the building exterior, did need assistance getting him out and getting him around to the front. But, you know, even in our organization, was that a mayday? Was it not? I believe in our culture, and I may be speaking wrong, I don't think anybody's afraid to call the mayday. I really don't. And we probably have a few characters that would probably, but we encourage it. And like I say, we've talked a lot about it since the one in August. But it was interesting here and say, well, Chief, it comes with a cost. And some of the examples were our dispatch automatically goes to a second alarm. So now you got fire trucks coming from across town. You know,
we have a mayday. It's like we never have enough help. And most maydays occur on the first alarm response. But go ahead, Scott.
Our dispatch did exactly as trained. I mean, they were on the ball. So we have that. the rapid intervention crew there is initially thinking it's inside. So their position is to try to start working in the building before it was communicated that it was on the outside. So just talked about a few of the things that maybe is there a price to calling the Mayday? Should it even be viewed like that? Or should it just, you know, and let's talk about this situation. You have a firefighter, exterior position, goes down with a broken leg. He said he's made that movement 100 times and he's been fine. Nothing hit it. Nothing fell on it. The fact that he was in the mud moving at 2.5 was enough to cause him to break a serious break in two spots. So just curious what you got. I think I gave you enough information where you kind of get the picture. The Mayday was resolved very quickly. They got medics back there. He said when he realized what was going on, there were 15 people standing over him. And then the job was just get him out front, get him in the ambulance.
Well, and I'll just say, and we've all talked about this before, you know, there's a lot of wheels that are set in motion when you call a Mayday, but just as a lot of wheels are set in motion, they can be canceled. We've said this before about thinking big. You call extra help. You can always all you have to say is, and John, you and I talked about this. Mayday's been resolved, you know, and you know what? Do a par to make sure you got everybody. Like we're supposed to do a roll call when anything big happens, or we go defensive, offensive, stuff like that. So, and that I always call the par, like the roll call, kind of like the reset button. All right, Mayday's clear. We're good, guys. You know what? I think everybody takes a breath and goes, man, good. Everybody's good. Let's go back to finishing what we came here to do. Now he was like right next to it. Did the roof come in before, during, or after?
Well, right before. If you listen to the radio traffic, which I did, it said, hey, we got a partial collapse, but it was inside. But this was all happening at once, moving outside, report of a collapse, and then the Mayday. So it was, you know, and he didn't give the member didn't give the full Mayday report. We use who, what, where, and air. That's our Mayday signal. And as soon as he called Mayday 3 times, like I said, somebody said, no, we got it. This is good. And so that's where it kind of ended. But again, now the incident commander out front is thinking, you know, he's got to get around and put eyes on it because there wasn't getting enough information. So it caused, you know, a little bit of chaos, but it was resolved everything turned out fine.
And you know what? If you look at this situation, this is a wonderful situation. It's a great teaching point. And actually, you know, forget about the cost of people coming and transmitting alarms and stuff like that. And the firefighter is okay. So that's what the main point should be to every firefighter. And again, whether it's a guy with 10 years, 20 years, or 10 days, the minute a firefighter sees another firefighter or a firefighter experiences something themselves, but let's put it from the perspective of someone else given the Mayday. For example, your situation, a firefighter saw a firefighter go down. Immediately, that's a very important situation. We got a firefighter. Nobody just lays down at a fire, right? He didn't trip while he was walking through the yard and fall down. You know, boom, he went down like he was hurt. What a great, boom, you get the Mayday out right away. You start the ball rolling right away. This is going to be the most important call of the whole fire. Turns out that what looked like it could have been either a fatal or serious or life-threatening situation turned out to get quickly solved, done. And the incident commander gets a little confusion outside. Good. Incident commander should get a little confusion outside once in a while. See if they can really do the job instead of just running every little fire that goes perfectly, right? Guess what? You got to get out of your comfort zone. Walk around the back. See how's everything going. Who's the guy involved? Right there? Yeah, chief. You know what? He's right. We got him. All right, good. Yeah, you know, Louisville command, you know, to central, cancel the Mayday. Cancel the second alarm. Any special units coming on the second alarm, cancel it. We got it under control. What a wonderful situation. And that should be the key. The key should be any indication. I hate these things like a firefighter down, a serious injury, a collapse, a threat of a collapse. You know, they name these 5 things. They get all these stupid acronyms. They're ridiculous. They leave out 100 other ones that could happen. If anybody feels that somebody's life could be in danger or they could possibly be having a life-threatening situation, you should give them a day. It shouldn't even be revisited. It shouldn't even be like, okay, come on into the office after the fire. So why was it you gave them a day? It shouldn't be. We should be thankful that somebody's brave enough and smart enough to give the Mayday on the radio, and we practice getting it. And if the guy's okay, he's okay. And if he's not slightly hurt, we remove and take care of him. And if he's really messed up, then we got that second alarm coming and those extra trucks. That's why we build it all into that automatic signal, right? 77, 1077, code 3, 100, whatever you have, you get everything underway. We keep saying it all the time, speed, speed, speed. That's why we have red lights, right? So we get there faster. call the damn Mayday. And if we don't need it, or if we get it solved, you see, I even said it myself. If we don't need it, you shouldn't be allowed to say we don't need it. You give a Mayday, you needed it. It's quickly solved. Mayday over. Move on.
Well, and Bobby, you know, like I said, that's no different than when you were, you know, chiefing it. And I was, you call a second alarm that you don't use. Who cares? And I know it's not, I'm compared to a Mayday, but if you call it, you don't need it. You just resolve it, or you send them home, or you do what you got to do. You know, instead of the whole.
You're exactly right, Rick. And except for Terry McGrath, we all get paid by the hour. Terry's got that special contract thing going. So, you know, other than the $1 million man here, the rest of us get paid by the hour. So, but to Scott's point, There's an old quote they attribute it to Ben Franklin, you know, experience is a dear school, but fools learn and no other. Well, it's kind of a misquote. What he really meant to say was experience is really the best teacher, right? So to John's point and everybody's point, okay, so you called that Mayday and it was a real Mayday. Can you die from a broken leg? Abso-frickin-lutely, you can die from a broken leg. You could tear an artery in your femur or some other place, and you can bleed out from a broken leg. People have. So it's a serious, breaking your leg's a serious deal. And so that's a real, that's as real as it gets for a Mayday, right? And so here's the point though. All of your folks now have gone, all the folks that were there that night have now gone through a real Mayday. That was a real Mayday. So that's in their working memory, right? And that's how people make decisions and think. In other words, when you're learning how to drive early on and you don't know anything, you've got to learn, you know, how to brake and how to clutch and how to, you know, see what other cars are doing. But after a while, because you've done it, you have patterns built up, and that's how you make decisions. That's what's called recognition prime decision making. It's pattern matching, right? So now your folks have gone through a real Mayday. So even in training, they're going to be better equipped to think about, well, wait a minute, you know, and in Jay's case, which I thought Rick brought up, and I think that's a great case. And John was actually instrumental in helping Jay through that. John had to tell Jay where he was. Jay kept yelling at John, like, dude, I'm in the lobby. You're going through the front door and blah, blah, blah. And if I remember the tape right, John says to him, Jay, there ain't no front door anymore, man. You got to do better than that, bro. The front door's gone, man. So it was something, you know, like what? That, right, John? I mean, it was some kind of conversation to that.
Very similar, yeah. Yep.
Because I remember listening to the tape going, holy crap. You know, Jay had no idea what he had just survived. And so to your guy in the back of the house, that's so great, because your people had to figure out where you are. It's just like, where's the fire? During a Mayday, if you think about it, the size up's a little different. That's why with Lunar, location, right? Where the hell are you? And it can be hard to determine. And my guy went through the roof of a two-story home, ended up in a garage, right? I mean,
all keep in mind too, you know what? I'm fantastic at watching super ultra slow-mo, and I can see the dude off sides. I can see the face mask, and I can see the hole. In the heat of the moment, Scott, you know the guy had a broken leg, because you know that after they x-rayed, got into the hospital, did an assessment, were able to evaluate what happened. But in those 5 seconds, those 10 seconds, that's to me where that decision is crucial. And we can pick it apart, and we can overanalyze, or we can beat ourselves up, because after we have time on our side and can evaluate, look back, look at cell phone video or whatever else, then we'll all pick it apart. And I think we lose track of that. This is that moment in time is that. And I say the decision, man, my hat's off to the crew for that reaction.
Terry, I told you on the phone this, and I may have told Scott the same thing. I'm going to say it right now. I don't care how many years, how many days that firefighter in the colony had that called the Mayday, Scott, for the guy with the rope. You know what? I want him with me. I want a guy. I want the guy with me. If something happens to me, I don't want somebody going, well, did Rick really go down? Or is it just, you know what? I want someone that's going to call the Mayday and get people there, because both Bobby and John started out with this about time. And all too often we go to the Mayday drills and they're in there with pallets and straw or theatrical smoke. And they're in there. And I'm like, you know, we're 35 minutes into this. Yeah. I don't know how much air your guys have, but this was the one alarm assignment, usually, not always. Look at Don Abbott's project many times. The one alarm assignment, John, you and I have been saying that for decades. The one alarm assignment, you're in there, you're halfway through. Terry, the one I had in Flower Mound with John Wright, all the one alarm companies were outside getting air. The only crew that was available to me was the RIT team, and they were upstairs on fire. They were on fire during that Mayday we had, you know. So the realism, it goes back to what John said and Bobby both. We need to be training on this stuff. We need to be talking our way through this. We need to remind all in our policies about radio discipline. We've talked about that. When somebody calls a Mayday, everybody else should shut the you-know-what up. You know, John, you guys have like a gazillion portable radios on all hands fire in New York City. When somebody says Mayday, everybody shuts up unless they're involved in a Mayday. So go ahead, buddy. Go ahead, John.
The most part. It brings up two more points. Well, that's one. I mean, I have a tape of myself telling everybody, shut up, we get a Mayday on here. So sometimes it's not quite as, you know,
was
rigid.
Was it just shut up, or was there a curse word in there too?
As we want it to be. But it brings up two more points. And the first point is, maybe it's time for Mayday to be modified a little bit. Sometimes get creative. Sometimes we put a lot of thought into something, we put groups together, something gets put into place. And like Bobby said, things are always evolving. But Mayday has always been, I don't want to call it stuck in a ditch, but Mayday's always been for a life-threatening situation. And I'm saying to myself, so what's that? We talked about the acronyms a minute ago, but what about a firefighter climbing up a portable ladder, going to a second floor window of a house, gets almost to the top and falls off the ladder for some reason. He slips and he falls off the ladder. Boom, he hits the ground. Is that a Mayday?
It all depends.
What's the answer? The answer is the default answer. Yes. If you have to think about it, it's a yes. That could. Why does it have to be fatal? Maybe it should be serious or life-threatening injuries could occur to a firefighter. Maybe we need to broaden the scope a little bit to make it a little bit more open-ended.
Well,
that's a perfect example. A guy falls off a ladder and five of the sharpest guys in the country, we're trying to come up with the answer to that. You know what I'm saying? So maybe we need to broaden it and not have it down to these acronyms and these five reasons to give a Mayday. Maybe we should make it a little bit broader where everyone would feel the freedom that young firefighter, I don't know if it was a young firefighter or not, felt giving that Mayday, seeing that man fall down like that. And then we'll clarify it later. You know, it's not for nothing. If somebody goes down, they're going down. You know what I'm saying? So.
And John, in our 3 degrees of Mayday, as well as managing a Mayday, we talk about it here, you know, you and I beat up on that. And the phrase is, If the member if what you're doing is going to result in a serious injury, you know, or death, you call the Mayday. We didn't say inside, outside. We just said, you know what, if it's going to result in a serious injury or they're that simple. If you think and we said, there's a slide that says quite fun, if you're what you're doing, you think you may not get out of there, can you call the Mayday?
Right. When in doubt, give the Mayday.
That's it.
The other point was staffing. So one of the folks that wrote in a minute ago wrote in, you know what? A lot of places don't have a lot of staffing. If you're going to give a Mayday, you better give it early because it's going to take like 9 minutes for the other three people to get there to be the second part of the Mayday.
And let me bring up something you brought up, John, and Terry and Scott can comment on this as well because they're very much involved in it. In Louisville, Scott, when you were there in Louisville those years with us, we ripped off from New York City. After 9/11, John, you guys created your 1066 policy, which is your Mayday policy, which you say, you know, 1-8 the Bronx, 1066. Boom, 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 boom. Everything is sent for the Mayday you need. You don't have to say another word. You can go back to fixing a problem, taking care of your firefighter or firefighters that are trapped. So we, in our Louisville, Terry, right, the only code we use, and no debate, 10 codes work, some guys like whatever. I'm not into that. I'm saying we use Signal 27. It's a cop thing for dead body, for DOA, right? Because everybody watches CSI when they say Engine 5 would just ask you, DOA, the family loses their, lose their minds. So we say Signal 27. So we went with Signal 99. So, right, you still have it, right? You know, the only thing you have to say, dispatch command, Signal 99, and that elevates it elevates the alarm to the next level. Specials and extra chiefs, extra ambulances, extra trucks. The little says ascertain for command to collapse rescue. It's all done for you. You just say one word, one phrase, everything's coming. Because what we have learned over the years, every firefighter you injure seriously at a fire, you injure like 4 to 8 more. And every firefighter that is killed on duty, you usually injure anywhere from 8 to 12 more trying to get them on air. You better have enough ambulances coming. You better have enough people coming. Your initial RIT team, a RIT team is going to grow to 6-7 times the initial size. especially, John, like you said, if we're running short, you better get the help coming now. So if anything, look at your SLGs, your SOPs. Terry, you still have Signal 99, right? You still have it.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I send it out all the time to people. It's in our PowerPoint. Here you go.
I remember driving to work, like the shift after a guy is killed or seriously injured somewhere in a job, or I see it on TV between tours of May Day in the Bronx. And there I am driving to work in the 18th Battalion, you know, going over Bear Mountain Bridge, thinking about what would I do? Okay, transmit a second alarm. I'd call two additional rescues, maybe two additional squads, another battalion chief. Now, this is me saying what I would call. There was nothing prescribed. You could call what you basically wanted to call. I would call an EMS, you know, extra EMS people. I would call, you know, maybe two tower ladders. And I'm going through this thinking, if it happens to me at that dangerous, extreme, confusing moment, at least I'll have this little routine down in my head. And the FDNY and a lot of other people since then, maybe even before then, said, you know what? Let me take that off the incident commander's shoulders. Let me give him a signal. You got a firefighter down, 1066. That's all you have to say. 1066, three words you can turn back to, getting the RIT team working. Who's near the guy? Can you hear him? Are you okay? Is your air? And you don't have to start saying, oh, Billy, how about, oh, call more EMS as well. Oh, yeah, Bronx to wipe it. You don't have to call the dispatcher nine times for 12 different things. So there's another time saver. There's another, you know, relief for the incident commander to not to be bogged down by this little tactical administrative job that he has to do suddenly when somebody's trapped, you know. Again, time is the element.
Well, and I won't say what Bobby said because I don't want to curse here, but when we were talking about this early on, when we talk about whether you should call, not call, and he was pretty, if you think John Saul could be vocal about it, you should hear Bobby going on, really? You know, I'll clean it up. I think you used the word moron. You have to be a moron if you're going to debate whether somebody should or should not call the Mayday. You know what? They call the Mayday. Don't worry. We have enough people there that can adjust it, fix it, do what you got to do, cancel it, clear it, do whatever. You know what? We should all be high-fiving that a firefighter isn't going to the morgue, that we had a, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, Scott, I want that kid next to me, the one to call the Mayday in the colony, because I don't want anybody hesitating if I need help. So go ahead, Bobby.
If you got a firefighter down for any reason, the term is Mayday, period. You could say firefighter down. You could say 1066. You could say 1099. You could say, I don't care if you call for Agent 86. You could get Maxwell Smart and the whole team to show up. But just call the ball. And thank you to Nick Salome and Billy Carey and Dan. I mean, we got a great conversation going on online. I wish we could see it all here, but we're getting some Dan Schmitz, some stuff pumped into us from you all. And I agree with everybody. You know, if you, John said it, if you think you're in trouble, let everybody know you're in trouble. Because if you think you're in trouble, you're in trouble. It's just that simple. You know what I mean? You know, nowadays we've become so sensitive to about what other people think. If you're worried about what other people think when your life is on the line, man, that's Darwin right there. You should not have children because you're that stupid. If you care what other people think, especially these beanbag firefighters sitting in the comfort of their basement, you know, shooting out stuff on Face Joke and Twit, whatever it's called, and all that other garbage. You're a fool. The only people you should ever care about is your husband or wife, your children, and your mom and dad. After that, it's just people you bumped into on this journey called life.
So,
and good luck, because their opinions are as many as their behinds, and they smell the same. So just don't worry about the social media wizards. Like, if you find a person who's like really famous on social media, yeah, stay away from them, because they're probably weirdos. I mean, it's just bizarre to me, how sensitive people have become to this silliness. You know, bye-bye, Terry. Sorry you got to run, man.
Enjoyed it. I appreciate it. It's a wacky day. Chief, the world's blowing up. They're calling for resources all over the place. You better turn your radio up.
So we need to talk about in subsequent shows, how to set the teams up for the Mayday team, the guys and gals that are going to come in to make, how to do more realistic training, how to work better with the props, what are you doing locally? And for everybody that's on Facebook right now, I'd love to bring in a couple of outside folks that, you know, they've experienced that, have done some great stuff. They've got some great ideas because we're not Mount Olympus. We're just old.
Well, Bobby, and I guess here, as you know, we're kind of pushing towards the end of the show, but so recommendations from this panel, Terry just left us. We'll get his thoughts next time because he's got some great stuff. So we always talk about, like at FDIC, what are the takeaways? We tell the instructors. I've been on that board for you, Bobby, since when it was Penwell bought it in 96. And our goal is always from the classes, right? What's the takeaway for the student? So what's the takeaway for our listeners or for departments? Is it, you know, I'm thinking it's time to sit down anytime as a baby. It's time to sit down and review your SLGs. How you doing on radio discipline? You know, do you use who, what, where? You know, we talked about that, John, you and I, and Bobby Scott, all of us love who, what, where. You know, what are we doing? Are we looking at Don Abbott stuff? Because all of us are into the facts, not the fiction. You know, let's look at numbers and go, see, changing channels doesn't work. See, lunar doesn't, you know, see, who, what, where is the best thing? So, you know, radio, I remember, Bobby, when you guys published the Pride and Ownership for me, the Mayday checklist I came out of the article that Skip Cole and I did in the 90s, and again in 2000, there used to be on the original, Scott, you remember the original checklist, every fifth line, there was two bold lines. One says, call for more help, you know, get enough help to the scene is what it said. And then it said in bold print, tell everybody to shut the F up. And then Bobby, your editors wouldn't let me say, tell everybody to shut the F up. So now if you look at the back of Pride and Ownership, in the form, it says, remind all of radio discipline. But what are we doing to control the radio traffic? You know, what are we doing so lessons learned, I'll throw that out there. You know, messages to those out there. Obviously, we've said, call the Mayday. Don't worry about it. Call it. Well, if we have to fix it, we'll fix it. Like a second alarm that wasn't, don't just call it. But lessons, what are we telling our viewers? Scott, we'll go to you, buddy. Thoughts.
The big ones. I mean, I think the ones I've been involved in, communications is the greatest challenge to me. I mean, I think we've done a good job of training on the skills to locate, remove, down, fire. You can always be better, but we spend a lot of time on that. But, you know, I mentioned this, I think the last show we had is you got to get on there and say, everybody shut up, control communications. The incident commander's got to act. And I use the term Mayday denial. They've got to do what John was saying. They got to accept that time is and get things moving, whether it's activating the rapid intervention team or whatever. You can't keep questioning it, repeat yourself to get things going. And then the other thing is the quality of calling Maydays. We've had two in a relatively close period of time. And while the Mayday got out, the quality of calling it is something we got to work on a little bit, because if in both our situations, if those firefighters didn't have an opportunity to provide additional information, we wouldn't have enough to have responded to them effectively. So those are some of the things that we're kind of talking about. Like I say, I hope we have a culture where nobody is afraid to call the Mayday because of, being teased about that or whatever. But the quality of the Mayday, the quality of the operation, like John says, we don't do it a lot. It's probably going to be one of the most stressful things we're going to do as an incident commander or, in charge of a division or group. So that would be my thing. And it's like anything else, you got to look at the basics of it, the communications, the quality of it. You know, what are we going to say? What are we not going to say? And are we requiring them to do something that their mind and body's not going to allow them to do? Lunar or all, some of these other things. I think those are my big focus points.
And Beck, Scott, you and I've talked about this. When Skip and I did the article, we actually talked to the back in the 90s, late 90s, to some of the docs that were taking care of firefighters afterwards. And John, you and I talked about 3 degrees of Mayday. I took the same text from that presentation article, was a firefighter who's under duress, which is stress on steroids, will no longer be able to multitask, and they will revert back to what is routine and normal form. And this is where training the basics, how to talk in radio, how to crawl around your hands and knees, how to find yourself in and out. That's why I always talk about John's room orientation drill, that everybody should go through that drill. Staying oriented in the smoke. John, you say all the time, if you're a company officer, you're not training your people how to stay oriented in the smoke, you're not doing your damn job. You know, most firefighters inside, you know, you think about, we're probably, or we're disoriented when something happened. What are we doing? You know, if you're talking on the radio, taking care of your breathing, air consumption, crawling around, trying to find your way out. Think about everybody's focus funnel. Everybody right now in the world, everybody listening, they're like, okay, what am I doing for dinner tonight? Where am I going to go tomorrow? But you know, it's like turning the radio down when you're lost. Your focus funnel, when you get under duress, gets smaller, 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 smaller. And you only be able to think about a couple things. You better hope it's how to talk in radio, how to get out of a building, how to crawl on your hands and knees, how to drag a partner and stuff like that.
Rick, let me just add real quick before John chimes in though, but you're on a great point and your fine motor skills begin to decrease. And we saw that with John Wright. He had the tunnel vision. But we're asking our people to do things that their body may not allow them to do when they get to that point. So the things like changing radio channels and all those other deals are just not realistic. They sound great in the classroom, but in reality, they just don't work. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Good point, buddy. Go ahead, John.
And, you know, like all of us have said this whole time and probably many times before in different locations and classes and training places, is really, like you said, time is of the essence. So giving it right away, acknowledging it right away, activating either the RIT team or the 1066 or the 10100, and back to the firefighter that's given it, who, what, where, you know, and I sound like I'm beating a dead horse. And I know Scott says they use it. That's so much, and it's not even so much better. I'm not even going to say the other word because it's so ridiculous. But the point is, somebody who's starting to suffer from that, somebody who's either injured or in a collapse, you don't give Mayday till the collapse is over. Suddenly you're pinned at a collapse. And now, you know, you're lucky enough to be able to transmit. You're not going to remember acronyms. You're just going to remember who, what, where. You should be able to give who, what, and where, and go unconscious. And we should be able to save you just with those three pieces of information. It's not complete. We want more information. We want to know if you're by yourself. We want to know all this other stuff. But if you get who, what, and where out very quickly, you have a great chance of being saved by the RIT team or by a later arriving firefighter or a nearby firefighter. So my suggestion, of course, is just keep it simple. Give the Mayday as quickly as possible and clearly give the who, what, where. Clearly acknowledge it and send a team, even if it's just a two-person team, send them right away. And every time something is done quickly, it increases the chance of whatever the Mayday situation is coming out positively.
Absolutely. And great point. And Bobby, you and I've talked about this. If your Marsha or my Jamie called the house on fire tonight, they call dispatch, they're going to say who, what, where. They've never been in a burning building before. They've never been a firefighter. 911, what's your emergency? This is Marsha Halton. My house on fire. I'm trapped in my back bed. She our wives have never been in a burning building before. They're going to know who, what, where. Go ahead, Bobby. Thoughts on
you know, I'll just leave everybody with this final thought. Self-preservation, it's its own reward. Think about it. Nobody loves you like you, trust me. Self-preservation is its own reward.
So true. So true.
And so great conversation. And to everybody who's, you know, online and such, you know, if you want to join in or become part of this conversation, you got some thoughts on it. This is a topic that needs a whole lot more exploration. We haven't even gotten into, you know, radio protocols, technology, you know, packaging. You know, Nick had some great things about, you know, hardening the exits and entry, you know, all that stuff matters. And we could do, you know, a year on just this topic alone, because to John's point, we don't do it enough, and it's probably going to be one of the most important things you ever do in the fire ground.
Well, it's one of the first slides in our presentation, Bobby, is if you think a baby trapped in a building of grandma is a stressful event, it is going to be the most difficult, most stressful event you will ever be involved in is when a firefighter says Mayday.
People will drop a baby to go rescue a firefighter.
I can tell you from personal experience, when you do it for yourself, it will be the most memorable experience of your life. Right. Because if you think if you don't get help, you're going to die, trust me.
Well, and if you don't say it or whatever you say, Jay Jonas kept telling his guys in the North Tower, John, remember he kept saying, what'd he say? He goes, they're coming for us. For 5 hours, he said, they're coming for us. They're coming for us. And you led that going after Jay. you know, at 9/11. So, you know what, Scott, I'm going to finish. I'm just going to say, you know, what we talk about, train. And let's, for the people who get all hooted over this stuff and overthink things, you know what, if you want to overthink things, overthink your SOGs in the way of how current are they and your training. Like, how about overthink train? Why don't you just train, and stop overthinking whether we should have called it or didn't call it. Because I've said, I'll finish saying, I want that guy at my side that called the Mayday in the county, Texas. I want him next to me. I'm telling you, that would be my comfort. I want someone that's going to call for help if something happens to me without hesitation and without going, am I halfway through the acronym or not? So great topic, guys. Scott, thanks for sharing. Prayers, thoughts and prayers to your guy who is recovering. It's bad enough. It was a bad break, but we always say it could have been worse. So Bobby, April 25th to the 30th. Oh my God. You know, I mean, we're back. I know we did August with 20,000 plus
people.
Is that your
bar mitzvah?
Actually, the 29th is my birthday. Well, I'll be there, but I just, I'm so excited. There are so many great classes. So many great people.
Can't wait to see everybody. Thank you all for joining with us today. I've got to run to another meeting. So I'm out, gang. See you next month.
See you, Bobby. See you next month.
Actually, God bless
you. While you're leaving, folks, our next show is April 20th. We're the third. This particular group has a third Wednesday. You catch some great Hump Day Hangouts every Wednesday here at fireengineering.com, as well as the podcasts in the evening that are great with all the other stuff on all the different sites. You get a hold of all of us. We're on the web. We're on all the social media things and so on and so forth. Scott, John, thank you again. Scott, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
You know, we end all of our shows with a very important message, and that is, as we close things out, we ask you to always keep the men and women in our armed forces in your thoughts and prayers. And remember, never forgetting means never forgetting. Be safe. Take care of you. We'll see you at FDIC, and God bless you.
Bye.